Let me first of all commend Pastor Teresa last week for doing a great job. I heard talking about honoring God. I will honor those. 1 Samuel 2 verse 30, God said, I will honor those that honor me. Everybody say this after me. He will honor those that honor him. So in other words, the kind of honor that you show will be the kind of honor that will be given back to you. It goes on in that verse to say, but those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be lightly esteemed by the Lord. Amen. Because I have failed to give him glory and to honor him. So the whole idea of honor, very important. I believe personally in our American culture that we know very, very little about honor. We teach our kids very, very little about honor. It's just a shame. You go into other cultures, African cultures, European cultures, and Asian cultures, and they absolutely understand the concept of honor, particularly honoring those that are the elders in the among the group. You know what I mean? And you know, the whole idea. You know, I was talking to someone a number of years ago, and he was talking about this African gentleman who went back home to Africa, and he was a king. I mean, he was like the up and coming, like prince, king slash whatever. He was going to inherit everything. But when he got back home, all of the elders, he had to honor all of the elders, and he sat in one spot, and the highest positions were given to those that had the place of honor among his tribal people. And I just thought that was absolutely incredible. So what a great thing that is. Wealth is a reward for wisdom. I wanted to give that to you. Wealth is a reward for wisdom, which I believe is very important. You know, our whole objective, again, is to get some knowledge and information to you. I am putting together for you a checklist. Everyone say a checklist. A checklist of things that you are going to need as you are planning out your estate, as you are looking at your whole financial portfolio. I'm putting together for you a list of things that you are going to need to have on your or in your checklist and in your portfolio. Let me give you an example. You're going to have information, for an example, on your last will and testament. The reason why you need a will is because if something happened to you, let's just say you drop dead, you're not going to. Look at somebody and say, you're not going to. But if you happen to drop dead, it is very essential that whatever it is that your last will and testament would be, you want your last will and testament to be carried out specifically to your desire. Otherwise, if there is no will, then the state of Oklahoma is going to come in, and they're going to hold up all your money, and they're going to determine who all your bill collectors are and how much money you owed, and everything is going to sit in your estate, and your children, your husband, your wife, your beneficiary, they will not be able to touch anything that you worked most of your life for, and they will not be able to access it because you and your husband, you and your wife, you and your children, whatever the case might be, you failed to plan. And when you fail to plan, you might as well plan to fail. Does that make sense? All right. What we've been talking about in this class, listen, trust me, these are things that are very, 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 very important. Our goal is not to put pressure on you. Our goal is to get you information to get you acting on what I believe you believe, and that is being prepared as a result of sound financial planning and sound financial decisions and on and on and on. So I will honor those that honor me. Wealth is a reward for wisdom. Now, anybody remember where I left off? Because I need to be done at about 9:45 so we can pray before the service this morning. And so where did I specifically leave off? Anybody remember?
The best way to go about making your way successful.
Say it again.
The best way to go about making your way successful. And there was four points.
Okay, and I gave you those. I think I may have gone a little further than that. Well, let's just pick up here. Write down this verse. We'll pick up here, and then I'll kind of scoot through things, and we'll get there. What are you going to say, Allison?
10 critical factors.
10 critical factors. Okay, I think we hit that.
Yeah.
We got to that. Well, let's go here. Here's where I want to go. 1 Peter chapter 4, write down verse number 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, because I think I talked about service master, the business service master and all of that. If you need it, you see me afterward. He has it. Okay, great. The man has it. Great. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10. Remember, each of you has received a gift. That's all I'm going to say. A spiritual endowment, a natural spiritual, supernatural endowment, on and on and on. He goes on in verse 11 to say this: whoever speaks, if you're a preacher, a speaker, an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, whoever speaks, let him do so according as the oracles of God. Whoever renders a service, it goes on in the Amplified to say, all of us are in a position to render service to other people. Can I get an amen to that? So if you happen to work in some kind of sales, or if you happen to work in a restaurant, if you are in the, or if you are the French fry person who works the fries, who fries up all the fries for the people coming through the drive-through. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. How many of y'all know hot fries are very important? Amen? I know that's right. I felt the Holy Ghost on that. And so you don't need to see your time in service to others as something that diminishes you. Because somebody might say, and you fried the French fries and you make burgers over there at that restaurant, and oh my God, that is beneath you. That is beneath me. No. When you give yourself in service to others, you should never see that as something that is diminishing you, but something that is elevating you. To serve others means to be elevated in life. Everybody say elevated in life.
Elevated in life.
And when you look at it from that standpoint, and when you look at it from God's standpoint, then you realize again that your blessing is in serving others. The reason why this is important is because many of you are going to have a part-time job or a part-time business or a side business that will help to increase your wealth. And so whatever that might happen to be, whatever you endeavor to do, you need to understand that you are not diminished by doing it. You are elevated. Everybody say elevated.
Elevated.
All right. So we talked a little bit about service master again, in the Hebrew language. Again, they have a service-oriented business. They're one of the most respected companies in the world, and the giving of oneself to others is at the core of what it means to be human and at the core of the quest for career success. Giving oneself to others. The ancient Jewish, and I don't know if I said this, but I want to say it now. The ancient Jewish motto of love does not mean I take from you. It means I give to you. And it's not just, love, it's Valentine's weekend, but love is not some old ooshy, ooshy, gushy, mushy feeling. It's just not that, but it is a welling up in our hearts. Rather, more important, it means to give to others, to serve them, and God wants you and I to love other people and to serve them, all right? He became, you remember the story I talked about, the guy, the shoeshine guy that had 14 shoeshine stands throughout the city of New York. And the road to wealth for him was built because he would sit down to shine the shoes of his wealthy clients, and the wealthy clients enjoyed him so much that while they were getting their shoe shines, their shoes shine, they would pass on to him investment information.
Amen.
Can I get an amen to that? How would you like to hear all the, all the things that you can put your money in immediately and in 30 days get an excellent return? And then I made this statement. He became a wealthy man because he felt comfortable serving others. So you have to get really, really comfortable serving others. And then, I don't know, did I get to George Zimmer, our last class? George Zimmer, who is the creator of the Men's Warehouse suit company. George Zimmer, he hated shopping for clothes, so he went into the clothing business. He owns 400 stores nationwide, Men's Warehouse. There's one here in Tulsa. He has 6,000 employees. His market value is $1 billion. Everybody say $1
billion.
How many of you could use half of that, $500 million right now? All right. $1 billion. The key to success wasn't in his eye color, fashion, style, although he had those qualities. His brilliance was in designing and implementing a system in which participants absorbed a culture of service. When you go into men's wear, hello, sir, may I help you? Hello, sir, da, da, da. Hello, sir. Da, and they'll even tell you what your suit jackets are. You were about a 38 short, yada, 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 that can look at you, that can tell by your shoulders and your body structure exactly what it is that you need, on and on and on. But he observed it's a service culture that has caused us to be successful. Come on, everybody say amen.
Amen.
There's something about you and I serving others and serving one another, which is very, very important. The secret to learning to serve. Now, here's where I want to go with this, and I want you to hear this very loud. The secret to learning how to love serving others is to develop the character trait of humility. The character trait of humility is the secret. It is the secret to learning how to love serving others. Not going to be real successful if you're not humble. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he might do what? Exalt you in due time, raise you up to a place of position, prominence, whatever the case might be. James chapter 4, verse number 10, humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you, he will lift you up, and make your lives significant. Make your lives significant. That is the Amplified Bible, James chapter 4, verse number 10. So significance, in your notes, write this down, significance can never be achieved by having a lot of money.
Amen.
You can have a lot of money and still feel empty and lonely and by yourself and feel like the caviar really doesn't fill you up. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? I was eating at Mahogany's. Everybody familiar with Mahogany Steakhouse here in Tulsa? And I bring up Mahogany's because I just thought it was a shame that Kevin Durant and the Golden State Warriors went back this weekend to play the Oklahoma City Thunder. He was booed. He was booed by the crowd. Kevin Durant, boo, because he made a decision to go to Golden State where he could make a little bit more money for him and his people, his family, and win a championship. Hello, 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 hallelujah. You cannot blame the man for wanting to take care of his family.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so they booed him, and so he called the owner of the Mahogany's. I don't know if he's the same owner, but the owner of Mahogany's in Oklahoma City, and told him that for $30,000 or $35,000 they wanted to rent out the restaurant for him and some of his teammates. Rent out the restaurant means we'll pay you $35,000. Come on, everybody say $35,000. How many of y'all could use a $35,000 shot in the arm, right, in both arms right about now, all right? And so for $35,000, we'll rent out the restaurant for myself and my teammates, meaning no one else can come in the restaurant while they're there. The owner turned him down and told him, no, we're not interested in you coming in to the restaurant because many of the Russell Westbrook and many of the Oklahoma City Thunder players, they come into the restaurant after the home games, and I just want to leave the restaurant open for them. KD, no, you cannot rent it out for $35,000. Now, I think that's a shame because everybody has forgotten about all of the games that Kevin Durant played for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Amen. All the stuff he did while he was
there. And all the stuff he did while he was a resident of Oklahoma City, and da 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 da. I mean, do we negate all the wins and all the games that the man won, and all the good things that he did for charitable things, and on and on and on? I think that's a shame. I just think that's poor form. I just think that the secret of learning how to serve others is to develop a trait of humility. Even though that man has moved on in his NBA career, there would have been nothing wrong with renting out for $35,000 the restaurant to a brother for the night. Hello. Amen. Can I get an amen to that? So you and I have to develop this characteristic or character of humility, humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse number 5. You got to be humble about this. God's going to take you places. God is going to raise you up. God is going to increase you. Come on, everybody shout, increase me.
Increase.
And the real key to this is your ability to remain humble in the midst of everything that God is going to do in your life. Can I get one more amen?
Amen.
Now, if we were going to give you a definition of the word humility, it would be this. Humility can be defined as seeing I'll get back to it. Go to 1 Peter there. 1 Peter 5, look at verse 5. Likewise, you who are younger and of lesser rank, be subject to the elders and the ministers and spiritual guides of the church, giving them due respect and yielding to their counsel. Clothe, apron yourselves, all of you, with humility as the garb of a servant, so that its covering cannot possibly be stripped from you, with freedom from pride and arrogance toward one another. For God sets himself against the proud and insolent and overbearing, disdainful, presumptuous, and boastful. He opposes and frustrates and defeats them, but he gives grace, favor, and blessing to the humble. You might want to write down grace, favor, and blessing. It comes to the humble. So there's something about recognizing and seeing yourself. Humility is seeing yourself in conjunction with God. Hallelujah. Pride is making self Lord. I did this. I got this. I started a business and I'm making $100,000 a month and I was smart enough to do it. And I got a witty invention and an ideal in the middle of the night. And as a result of that, you got to watch out for the eyes. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, the reason why, and this is important in this section, the reason why humility, pride, he sets himself against the insolent, the presumptuous, the people that have made themselves Lord. Amen. The people that have stopped coming to church after they've made a lot of money, who feel like I did this all by myself. I am a self-made man. There's no such thing as a self-made man.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You are where you are because of God. Even sinners that are out there making mega millions, who are operating in the principles that are found where? In the Word of God. Amen. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's not limited to just unbelievers. I mean, to believers, but it'll bless unbelievers who will operate in the principle. Right? Thomas Anderson, the book that we've been quoting, Becoming a Millionaire God's Way, at one time had 115 millionaires that he had raised up within his local congregation. Most of them stopped coming to church after they became. Now, before they became millionaires, they were in church every Sunday. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. But after they became millionaires, they were out on their boat on the weekend. They were traveling, doing business. They were spending a month in the Caribbean. And said, Pastor, you know, I'm going to be gone for a month because, you know, I just, you know, I got all this money with my wife. And, you know, Carolyn and I, we've never been to Hawaii, but Carolyn and I, we're going to Hawaii for the month. And we're going to be gone for 30, and we might even be gone for 40 days. But I said, I don't even know. And when we get back, we're headed down to, you know, El Segundo. And we're going, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They got all this money. They're taking all these trips. All these vacations, and God no longer has a part in their lives. He lost most of the 115 millionaires. He lost them. Somebody tell me why. Why did he lose most of the 115 millionaires that he had raised up that were vital parts of his church? Now they're no longer coming. Why did he lose them? Yes, sir.
I believe it's pride because, like what you said a moment ago, saying, I got this, I got that.
I made all this money, man. I'm bad. I'm a bad man. Pajama. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
All right, then. And so now all of a sudden they're lifted up in pride. They no longer need God. Yada, yada, yada. Kurt said he believes because many of them got lifted up in pride. I think that's absolutely true. Anybody else have a thought? Why did he lose most of them? Yes, ma'am. They start looking at the wrong thing. They start, oh, that's good, Miss Florence. They start looking at the wrong thing. They were no longer looking to the Word, looking at the Word of. Come on, give me an amen now. Amen. Now, some of you are looking to have these looks on your face. I'm telling you that when you've just had $3 million deposited in your checking account or your savings account, God is going to find out what's really in your heart.
Amen.
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 And the first thing he's going to find out, if you just have $3 million placed in your account, the first thing he's going to find out if you're going to write the check for $300,000 and put it in the Rock Church.
Amen.
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 Because most people who are not tithing, not giving, not endeavoring to put God first. Everybody shout, put God first.
Amen.
To put God first. It's $300,000. I could pay off my house for $300,000. Come on, amen.
Amen.
And so you have to be honest with yourself.
Amen.
Don't be deceived. Amen. Look at somebody and say, don't be deceived.
Don't be deceived.
You got to be honest. If you will skimp by on a little, the Bible says, if you'll skimp by on a little, if you'll get skimpy with God on a little, Luke 16, verse 10 and 11, if you'll skimp by on a little, you'll skimp by on a lot. Another translation here of Luke 16 says, if you will cheat with a little, you will cheat with a lot. Most people won't be honest about that. Right? If you're faithful with a very little, you'll be faithful with much. This is what Jesus said. Now, don't fool yourself. You know where you are, and I'm certainly not here to condemn anybody because there's no condemnation. But I'm telling you, Jesus' words were true. If you'll cheat with a little, or if you will steal a little, another translation says, then you will cheat with a lot and you'll steal a lot. Just be honest with yourself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If the whole idea of the world of wealth is opened up primarily by your ability to be faithful with what you have right now.
Amen.
This is how it works. That's the key. It's the key. But if you get your paycheck and you say, instead of my tithe, I'm going to get a banana split. In fact, several banana splits. You know what I mean? So again, no condemnation whatsoever. Our goal in this course is to teach you how the world of wealth works. And if you can be faithful right where you are, right with what you have, then you qualify for more.
Amen.
You will never qualify for more if you are not faithfully and diligently endeavoring to be right on point with what you have right now. This class is useless. It's useless if you've not decided to be faithful. It's useless. It'll never work. Because Jesus said the guy, boom, 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 boom. All right. This is how the world of wealth works. It works that way for me and it works that way for you. He gives grace to the humble. One of the keys to being successful in service is the key to service. The key to service, I said it, is humility. That's the key to service. The key to service is humility. Very important. If I'm going to succeed in business, it won't be because people think I'm smart. It will be because they like me. They trust me. All right? It won't be because they think you're smart and on and on and on. And the reason why integrity is so important in business is because wealth is the, this is what the Jewish people believe, that wealth is the product, is produced by transactions. It's produced by transactions. A transaction here, a transaction there. I was with Dr. Bill Winston last year in a conference, and we were all having dinner together, and da-da-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, and he was 20 minutes late to the dinner. And so we're all waiting and waiting, and the door hasn't opened, and he's in there conducting some kind of, on a phone call, conducting some kind of business, transaction. Everybody say transaction. And when the door finally opens, he comes out, and I'm like, thank God, the chicken's getting cold, Dr. Winston. He says, I'm sorry that I'm late. I was working on a $30 million deal. How many of you know those take time? Hello. Even if you've never worked one, you know those take time, right? And so my attitude was, I wish I could have sat in on the meeting. And then we sat down to eat dinner. And for 1 hour, he talked all the way through the chicken. And so we all busted our iPhones out. And while he's talking, we're eating with one hand and trying to take notes with the other. I apologized to him and said, Dr. Winston, my apologies, but you're sharing life information. And it would be such a shame if we sat here and let you talk and let all this information go to waste. I said, all of the phones are out because we're all taking notes. He said, oh, no, go ahead. Right? So it's important for you to take some notes in life so that you can get ahead. Praise the Lord. Now, Luke 16, look at verse 14. Luke 16, verse 14. You've heard me say numerous times, Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin in one of those visions. I believe in visions. And he made this statement, I'm not opposed to my people being rich. I'm opposed to them being what? Anybody remember? Covetous. So let's talk a little bit about covetous. I believe that one of the reasons why Thomas Anderson lost a good majority of those 115 millionaires is because many of them had become covetous. All right. So let's talk a little bit about that. And I threw this in the course because when your millions start rolling in, I don't want you to become covetous.
Amen.
Because you have practiced putting, remember the purpose of the tithe is to teach us to always put God number one. I want God to always be number one in your life. Amen. Amen. Not number two, not number three, not number four, not number eight. Right? All right. Luke 16, verse 14. Now the Pharisees, who were covetous and lovers of money, heard all of these things taken together, and they began to sneer and ridicule and scoff at him. So Jesus was dealing with this whole idea in the Word of God about don't be covetous, don't this, that, and the other. And the Pharisees were upset because the Bible says they were covetous and they were lovers of money. Everybody say lovers of money. Now, you know, money is just a means. It's just an avenue to help us spread the gospel, do what we have to do, take care of our families or whatever the case might be. But God doesn't want us to be in love with money.
Amen.
Come on, give an amen now. Amen. How come Bernie Madoff, who made off with $150 billion, how come he couldn't stop at $50 billion? Somebody help me out. Why couldn't he stop at $50 billion?
Greed, covetous,
lover of money, evil. Couldn't stop. Had to keep going. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse number 9. Now I'm reading to you from the Word of God. This is the Word of God. You got to hear the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen to what it says. I wrote you in my previous letter not to associate closely and habitually with unchaste, impure people. Not meaning, of course, that you must altogether shun the immoral people of the world or the greedy grabbers and the cheats and the thieves and the idolaters, since otherwise you would need to get out of the world and human society altogether. But now I write to you not to associate with anybody who bears the name of Christian brother if he is known to be guilty of immorality or greed. Don't hang out with no greedy people.
Amen.
idolaters, money grabbers, haters. No, he says, no, you cannot hang out with people like that or who is an idolater, whose soul is devoted to any object that usurps the place of God. Your soul can never be a subject to any object that usurps the authority of God in your life. In other words, he was saying here, don't put anything before God.
Amen.
Not a relationship, not money, not a career, not a job.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Come on now. You can't. God wants to be number one in my life, not number three, not number two, on and on and on. He said, you can't do it. You search the place of God, or a person with a foul tongue, railing, abusing, rivaling, slandering, or a drunkard, or a swindler, or a robber. No, you must not so much as eat with such a person. He says, oh, don't even eat with a person like that. Don't hang out with them. Don't go nowhere with them. But I'm going to change them. I'm going to change either that or they're going to change you.
Amen. Amen.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, I want to ask a real serious question, because I'm going to be real transparent right now. I'm sitting in the meeting in the conference at Keith Moore's on Wednesday night, and God began to deal with my heart after Keith Moore made this statement. What are we depending on to get the work done? In other words, whatever we have going on in our lives, our ministries, our careers, what are we depending on to get the ministry done, or to get our job done, or to build our wealth, or to retire early? What are we depending on? Because are we depending on how smart we are? Are we depending on how handsome we are, or how pretty we might be? What are we depending on to get the work done, or to die? And I'm sitting in the meeting. I wrote it down. Bah, 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 bah. I said, Lord, I'm depending on you. What you and I should be depending on in all of these areas of our lives is the power of God.
Amen.
That's our dependency. That is our source. Said, Lord, I'm depending on the Lord. I'm depending on you. I'm trusting you. The Lord dealt with me in the meeting to come back and lay my hands on my checkbook. This is my checkbook, Brenda, right quick. Lay my hands on my checkbook and reminded me, don't ever get grumpy again when you're writing out checks, when you're balancing that thing. Don't ever get grumpy again. Don't ever get moody again. Not that I was real moody, but I felt carry the one times two. I'd like, ah! Oh, am I the only one? The Lord had me lay my hands with my wife, lay my hands on my checkbook, and make a commitment that all I'm done with all of that. I'm done with that. Now, let me tell you why this is so. It might seem, you guys are laughing, it made me, oh, you've done it. But let me tell you why the Lord spoke to me and told me why this is so significant. Because with every one of your moods, your attitudes, you prove yourself to be unthankful. And God cannot bless you in that position. So if you're moody about the balance in the book and what's in and what's going out and what's going on, the Lord spoke to me and said, that means you are unthankful and ungrateful for what you have. And I don't bless the unthankful.
Amen.
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 So the very mood that you have over what's in the checkbook or not in the checkbook, the very mood is cutting you off from that checkbook being full. So the next time I told my wife, I said, get the checkbook. We pulled the checkbook out, laid hands on it, and I made a commitment to God and to her that I would never, ever, 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 ever find myself moody and find myself unthankful, because those were the very things that were working against my prosperity.
Amen.
Amen.
Can I get an amen this morning?
Amen.
Come on, everybody shout amen.
Amen.
Because y'all too quiet. Don't get quiet on me. Don't get quiet on me right there. It's true. I'm telling you, it's so true. And while I'm sitting in the meeting, the Lord starts dealing with my heart. You remember those times you got moody?
Oh, yeah.
I said, yes, Lord. I remember. He said, you were cutting yourself off from me.
Wow.
So I don't want to cut myself off from the Lord anymore. So I laid my hand on the checkbook last night, and we finally, you know, we settled down after the whole week, and I laid my hands on the check. We laid our hands on it. I start rejoicing, praising God, thanking God, giving God all the glory. Glory! Glory! Start laughing. Ah! Glory to God. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen.
The best thing you can do, if you can't handle balancing your checkbook and writing out your monthly bills, let somebody else do it.
Amen.
Because an unthankful and a moody attitude puts you in a position of not being grateful for what God is doing in your life. And I'm telling you, you just cut yourself off from the blessing. Because God is never going to compromise with us. He's never going to compromise with us. So if we've got attitudes and we're ungrateful, and God's never going to bless. I'm telling you, he's never going to bless that. Never. He's never going to bless that.
Right.
So you might as well change or go without the blessing. Can I get an amen there? So what are you and I trusting in to get the work done, to get all of our prosperity settled and all of the future that's coming our way, our destiny? We are depending on the power of God. That's what we're depending on. We're not depending on anything else. My ability to balance the checkbook, pay the bill, that's little. That pales in comparison to God who's bringing it in, to God who's blessing us. I mean, I wasn't even going to stay in Florida. I wanted to come home, glory to God. And the Lord set it up where the trip was basically free. All right, free. I mean, they bought me. I said, my return ticket, I'm going to lose it. They said, oh, no, you're not. They sent me home in first class. They bought me a first class ticket and flew me home.
Amen.
How many of y'all know I was sitting like this in the first class? Hello. And so, I all of the things I thought I had to do, all of our little listings, we've got about 17, 18 listings going on. Do you know, while we were away, we started getting phone calls on most of our listings for people to come in and buy them.
Amen.
Look at somebody and say, that's God.
That's God.
You take care of God's business, God will take care of your business.
Amen.
Now, there's a part that you do, because faith without works is what?
Dead
being alone. So, in other words, you do your part and then you step back after you've done all that you know how to do and watch God work.
Amen.
And it's within watching him work that we give him all of the glory. You cannot take credit yourself.
Amen.
Yes. Come on now. Amen. You get the promotion on your job. That's not you. That's God.
Amen.
You get a check in the mail. That's not you. That's God.
Amen.
Amen. The people that I ministered for, they said, oh, we're going to put your check in the mail and blah, 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 and da, 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 and I look. Okay, then. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Got home. My check was in the mailbox.
Amen.
Get uptight about it. Don't can't keep getting uptight about money, because your uptightness is telling God just how ungrateful you are. And if I sat you down and did an interview with you and said, how ungrateful are you? You would say, oh, Pastor, I'm not ungrateful. You are every time you complain and get moody and have a Calyptian and blah, blah, blah. Every time you do that, you're telling God, I don't trust you, and I'm ungrateful for all the great things that you've done in my life. Okay? So you got to remember that. Got to remember it. All right. Praise the Lord. Let me give you one more, and then we'll get you on out of here. Glory to God. All right. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 5. This is the last one. We'll close with this. Here's what he said. For you can be sure, this is the Amplified Bible, you can be sure of this, that no person practicing sexual vice or impurity in thought and in life, or one who is covetous, who has a lustful desire for the property of others and is greedy for gain, for he in effect is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. No inheritance. Can't be greedy for the property of others. I know people that go into business and they cheat other people in the business deal. God says you have no inheritance in the kingdom of God if that's the way you live your life. Right? Got to be honest. Got to be integrous. Got to be upfront. Got to treat people right. Say this after me. I am a reaper.
I am a reaper.
I am always reaping.
I am always reaping.
This will be a year, of harvest.
Of harvest.
As I sow,
I get a big harvest.
A seed, say it, a seed.
Always demands
a harvest.
A harvest.
Now remember this as well. A farmer who sows no seed has no right to a what?
Harvest.
Has no right to a harvest. It's real simple math. When I sow, then that opens up God's world of wealth and it puts me in a position to be blessed by God. We'll finish up here. We've got about two more classes after that and we'll be done. As I said, I'm putting together a checklist for you so that you know that in your estate planning, these are the things that I need. I need to have my health insurance together. I need to have my will together. I need to have, if I own a house, I need to have all of the documentation on my house together. If I have a checking account or a savings account, I need to make sure that there is a beneficiary on the things that I own, because if something happened to you, you have to be able to access those things and take care of your estate and take care of all of your things. Anybody have two quick questions about anything that I covered today? If not, we're going to go let you go and get you on up the road. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to know which translation you're using today.
That I was using today. Most of the translation I used today was the Amplified Bible. Yes, ma'am. I think there may have been a New Living Translation thrown in there, but most of it, for some reason, and I don't even plan it that way, when I go back and look at my notes, all of a sudden I realize, oh my God, I use the Amplified Bible. I see them and read them and go, oh man, that's good, and pop them in, and then I realize later that it was Amplified. One more? Anybody else? One more question? All right. We'll stop right there. Listen, have a great day.